The Bible says God will fill you with joy and peace through your faith in Him. In other words, as you put your faith in God, He gives you peace and joy and hope. In fact, the Bible says you'll overflow with hope. But your hope is not just based on some wishy-washy optimism. It's based on the certainty that God will never leave you. He's always present. He's always watching over you. The Bible says God will guide you along the best path for your life. That's Psalm 32:8. And no matter what's happening, the good and the bad or the ugly, God's purpose is at work in you. Now, in addition, hope is the certainty that something makes sense regardless of how it turns out or how it looks to me. Even when we can't see it, even when things look hopeless, our God of hope is working to fulfill all our needs, even the deepest needs. God wants you to hear this good news today. In fact, I think it's why you're listening. I don't believe you're listening to this by accident. In fact, I've prayed that God would help people who need hope and healing to hear today's message. So join me today for Daily Hope as we discover how God meets our deepest needs.
Today on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we continue in a series called How God Meets Your Deepest Needs with part one of a message called The Path to Personal Peace, taken from the Gospel of John. And now, here's Rick.
Now, if you believe the internet, peace of mind is big business in America. Everybody thinks they've got the key to peace of mind, or at least wants you to think so, so you'll buy their product. I saw an ad for a perfume the other day called Peace Perfume, and the title said, Wear It to Feel Serenity. Now, folks, if we're all that easy, it'd be great. Just dab a little perfume on and you feel, you know, you have peace of mind. Peace of mind is such an important concept in life that people will do almost anything to find it. They will travel to exotic places at great expense. They will sniff a brain-destroying drug up their nose. They will experiment with New Age rituals. They will try all kinds of things. But the truth is, very few people in this world are at peace with themselves. Would you agree with that? Most people carry a high degree of stress, of anxiety, of tension in their lives. As a pastor, I have noticed that there are three things that tend to rob our peace. You might write these down. Three things that steal the peace of mind that God intends for us to have. Number one is when circumstances are uncontrollable, we often lose our peace. Now, as you know, much of life is beyond your control. You get frustrated by, you know, delayed flights and stuck in traffic, and there's nothing you can do about it. You just sit there. But even more than that, the most important things in life are often beyond your control. I've met with couples who wanted to have a baby, and it just wasn't happening. I've met with singles who wanted to get married, and it just wasn't happening. And lots of things just end up being out of your control. And when that happens, we get frustrated, and we lose our peace of mind. Number two, when people are unchangeable, we tend to lose our peace. People naturally resist change. Have you figured that out? And they resent it when you try to change them. In fact, have you ever tried to change anybody? Some of you maybe had a little personal improvement program for your husband or your wife or your children. And, you know, they just don't cooperate. And you can't figure out, well, why aren't you, well, you know, working on this? I mean, it's for your own good. And they resist it and they resent you. The quickest way to lose your peace of mind is try to change somebody else, because most people are just not going to change. And so we get frustrated and lose our peace. The third thing is when problems are unexplainable. When problems are unexplainable. Now, we know that life is not fair. We know that not everybody has a happy ending. They don't all live happily ever after. And things don't always turn out right. What makes it more difficult is you're not always going to know why. And when you don't know why things don't happen in your life the way you intend for them to do, you tend to get frustrated. You tend to get anxious or nervous or stressed. And you lose your peace. Now, God has promised peace of mind because it's a fundamental need of your life. In fact, one of the Hebrew names of God, we've been looking at these names of God for the past several weeks and how they meet our deepest needs. One of the Hebrew names of God is Jehovah Shalom. Now, you know this word, Shalom, it means peace. And it means, Jehovah Shalom means, I am the God of peace. The most used greeting in the New Testament between Christians is grace and peace. We are to live peaceful lives. Jesus says three times in John 20, peace be with you, peace be with you, peace be with you. And in John 14, 27, he says this, there on your outline, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. Now, if God says, I'm offering you a gift of peace, he means it. It's not something you work for. It's not something you deserve. It's not something you try for. You don't beg for peace. You don't plead for peace. It is simply a gift. Then why don't I have it? Today, we're going to talk about that. We're going to look at the path to personal peace. Now, I need to say right up front that peace has nothing to do with problem-free living. If you have to wait until all your problems are solved to be at peace, you're never going to be at peace. Because Jesus said, in the world, you will have problems. You're going to have tribulation. Just count on it. Peace of mind does not come from conflict-free living. Much of your life, you're going to have conflict. But did you know that you can have peace of mind in the conflict? Yes, you can. Peace of mind is the result of three important decisions that you need to make. Three choices. And when you choose these things, it will produce peace in your life. It is the choice for acceptance, the choice for trust, and the choice for surrender. Let's look at them today. The first step in the path to personal peace is to accept what cannot be changed. Accept what cannot be changed. Worrying about what cannot be changed certainly won't give you peace. Becoming resentful or bitter about what cannot be changed will certainly not give you peace. Feeling guilty about things that cannot be changed will not give you peace. So you can stop beating yourself over the head. Having self-pity over things that cannot be changed in your life will not give you peace. There is only one thing that will bring peace in your life, and that is acceptance. Acceptance of what cannot be changed. In the Bible, in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12, there's a story of King David who had a young baby that was dying. And David did everything he could to keep that baby from dying. And he even went and he prayed in the temple for 7 days, all night long. He fasted, he wept, he cried, he pleaded with God, God, please save this baby. And on the 7th day, the baby died. God did not answer his prayer. I don't know why. Someday we'll learn why he did not answer that prayer. But God had a plan and purpose in it. Now, when David's advisors heard this, they were scared to death. They thought, this guy's nearly over the edge with the baby near death. When he finds out that the child has actually died, he just may lose it all. So they were afraid to tell him. But David heard them whispering. And he said, has the child died? They said, yes. And David got up. He went and took a bath. He put on clean clothes. He ate a big meal. And he went back to work. And the advisors were astounded. They said, what are you doing? You were in agony when it was near death. Now that it's died, you're okay. What's happening? He said, the child has gone to heaven. And one day I will die and I will be reunited and go to heaven with that child. In the meantime, there's nothing else I can do. I got to get back to work. He had accepted what could not be changed. Last week we looked at the Apostle Paul and how he was taken to Rome, put in prison, and was awaiting execution by Nero. And during that time he wrote Philippians, the most positive book in the Bible. And we looked at how Paul says, I've learned to be content in everything. I want to go back to that verse there on your outline, Philippians 4, 11 to 13. Paul says this, I have learned to be satisfied with the things I have and with everything that happens. Would you circle that? Everything that happens. I know how to live when I'm poor, and I know how to live when I have plenty. I have learned the secret of being happy at any time, in everything. I can do all things through Christ because he gives me strength. Now notice several things. First, Acceptance is a learned experience, and you learn it from going through tough times, learning to accept it in the experience. It is a choice, and it is only possible by supernatural power. You're never going to learn to really accept the things of life without God's power, Christ's power in your life. Now, let me tell you what's the one thing that keeps you from peace in circumstances. What keeps you tense and nervous and stressed out about the things in your life? It's your demand for an explanation.
That's Rick Warren with a portion of today's message called The Path to Personal Peace from the series called How God Meets Your Deepest Needs. We'll continue with more in just a moment. Pastor Rick has served the church locally, nationally, and internationally for more than 30 years, and he's the author of many books, including The Purpose-Driven Life. If you've been helped through Rick's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. And you can connect with us through the Daily Hope website at rickwarren.org or by calling 1-800-600-5004. That's rickwarren.org or call us at 1-800-600-5004. More Daily Hope with Rick Warren just ahead.
How do you cope with stress, failure, depression, worry? In his book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, Rick Warren goes to the Bible for answers to 12 of life's toughest challenges using the examples of different biblical characters that faced the same issues. Each of these studies offers simple ways to apply God's truth to your personal life, family, and work. To get your copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, for a gift of any amount in support of this ministry, go to rickwarren.org.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
Now, let me tell you what's the one thing that keeps you from peace in circumstances. What keeps you tense and nervous and stressed out about the things in your life? It's your demand for an explanation. Your demand for an explanation. When something goes wrong in your life, when something doesn't happen the way you think it ought to happen, you go, why? Why, God? Why is this happening? Why did you allow this? Why is this happening to me? And by going over and over and over in your mind, trying to figure out why something happened, you are kept in turmoil. Now, let me just say two or three things about your demand for an explanation of the things that happen in your life. Number one, God doesn't owe you an explanation for anything. He's not obligated to explain everything that he does to you. You are the creation. He is the creator. God is a good God. He is a just God. He is a fair God. He is a loving God. And he understands things that you don't. And you need to just say, okay. The fact is, God doesn't owe you an explanation for anything in your life. Number two, even if he did explain why things happened the way they do, you probably wouldn't understand it. God's mind is so much greater than your mind. You can't comprehend all of the ways of God. There are forces at work in your life, in your family, in our world, and throughout history, that if God sat down and took the time to explain to you how generations affect generations and on and on and on, you probably wouldn't understand it anyway, even if you did get it. The third reason why it's not that big a deal is because explanations never bring peace anyway. You think, well, if I just know why this happened, well, then it'll make sense. No, it won't. No, it won't. Some of you have figured out why certain things happened in your life and you could figure it out. Did that bring peace to you? No, it did not. You still felt resentful or bitter or angry or upset or sad or whatever. Because explanations never satisfy. What comforts us is the presence of God in our life. Not God's explanations, God's care and concern and comfort. So stop looking for something that you really don't need. Now, the classic example of accepting things that cannot be changed is the story of Job. Now, you know this story. In the Old Testament, Job played in the Super Bowl of suffering. I mean, you know, this guy was the wealthiest man who ever lived. He was a very godly man, very dedicated, very devout to God. And one day, actually in a 48-hour period, he lost everything. First, all 10 of his kids were murdered. That's enough. Then he lost all of his wealth. His crops were destroyed. His flocks and herds were destroyed. He went bankrupt instantly. He lost everything he had overnight. And then if that weren't enough, he got a terrible painful disease that left open sores on his body oozing and left him in pain 24 hours a day. Now, you think you had a rough day. That's pretty tough. The only thing he was left with was a wife who nagged him. And she comes to Job and says, "Hey, Job, why don't you just curse God and die?" Now, that's what I call emotional support. But the most difficult thing about Job's circumstance was this. There was no apparent explanation given. He had no reason why all these things had befallen him. There was no understanding, no hint, no God saying, "Now this is why I'm doing this, why I'm allowing this in your life." Looking back, we can see what was going on, because as we read the book of Job, we find out that there were forces at work, that God was allowing a test, that Satan was involved. There were all kinds of things going on that Job didn't understand. We can see that looking back. But he had no idea in the moment what was happening. It didn't make sense. And the most difficult part of it was this. Job says, "Why is this happening to me, God? I'm a good guy. I'm a good guy." And for 37 chapters, God says nothing. Zip. Have you ever been in a crisis when God was silent? That is one of the most difficult things to handle in life. When you're going, "Why? Why is this?" And heaven is like brass heaven and your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling and nothing is coming through. Job was going through the greatest test of his life. It was a test of his peace of mind, but it was also a test of his character. This is the guy who had said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." And it was a major test. Now here's the point of the story. When God is silent, you need acceptance. Do you remember when you were in school and you took a class? The teacher is always silent when the test is being given. Now, you know, millions of people pray the Serenity Prayer every day. You're all familiar with this. I put it there on your outline. "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." That is a prayer, a very famous prayer by a man named Reinhold Niebuhr. But did you know that it is edited? That there are 8 more lines to the Serenity Prayer that you may have never even heard? And did you know that that's where all the power is? The power of peace is not in the first part of the prayer. It's in the part that they've cut out. Let me read you the entire Serenity Prayer. It says this: "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." Now, that's the part we all know about. Here's the rest of the prayer. "Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship," there's that word, "accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that you, God, will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen." Makes a little bit difference, doesn't it? All of the power is in the second part of the prayer.
That's Rick Warren with Daily Hope. In just a moment, Rick will share a closing thought, but first, I want to tell you about the Daily Hope website, rickwarren.org. Log on today, and right there you can get today's entire message. You can get message notes, social media links, and sign up for Rick's Daily Hope devotional. So log on now, rickwarren.org. And also, we don't have to tell you that life can be filled with tough stuff. stress, crisis, discouragement, depression, failure, but the Bible offers time-tested answers to life's difficult questions, taking you inside the lives of biblical characters such as Moses, Paul, and Jesus himself. Pastor Rick has written a book called God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. In this book, he shares stories and gives you concrete, easy-to-understand insights that you can put to work immediately in your own life. And now today, we want to send you this very special hardback book to thank you for your gift of any amount to support this Daily Hope broadcast. God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. It gives you the keys to a better life. You know, change will not come overnight, but with patience and prayer, well, you can see a difference. And in the process, you'll be encouraged that God can and will help you attain the purpose and significance for which you were created. So go ahead and give us a call to request your copy of God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. 1-800-600-5004. That number once again, 800-500-5004. And now, here's Rick with a closing thought.
God promises us peace of mind. In fact, God sees peace as a fundamental need of your life. One of the Hebrew names for God is this, Jehovah Shalom. Now, you know what that means. Shalom means peace. Jehovah Shalom means I am the God of peace. So here's the point. The closer you get to God, the more at peace you're going to be. It's interesting to me that in the scripture, the most commonly used greeting between Christians in the New Testament is grace and peace. And God designed us to have both of those in our lives, grace and peace. God designed us to live peaceful lives, but that only works when we have grace in our lives, when we follow Jesus, when we look to Him for His mercy and His grace. Three times in John chapter 20, Jesus said this, I give you peace. Peace be with you. And in John 14, 27, he says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and peace of heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace of the world, which is fragile. He says, it's my peace. So don't be troubled or afraid. How in the world do I get that kind of peace? Well, one of the keys to experiencing the peace of God is this, and listen closely, accept what cannot be changed. Leave it in the hands of a sovereign God who is a good God. What is going to give you peace is not explanations for why things are happening in your life. What's going to give you peace is the presence and the comfort of the Holy Spirit in your life. You see, worrying about what cannot be changed, that's not going to give you peace. Becoming resentful or bitter about what can't be changed, that's not going to give you peace. Feeling guilty over all the things that you wish you could redo, that's not going to give you peace. So you can stop beating yourself over the head. Having self-pity is not going to give you peace. The road to peace is in the road of surrender, in the road of submission, in the road of trusting God with the things beyond our control, which, by the way, is most of the things in your life. We must learn to accept that which cannot be changed and say this, I don't know why this happened, but I know God is a good God. You see, the ultimate test of your faith is not how loudly you praise in the good times of life, but how deeply you trust in the dark times. Here's what you can do. When you go through an experience that you don't like and you're having a hard time accepting it, what do you do? Well, if you've got a health problem, or you've got a handicap, or you've got a difficulty, what do? You do what you can do. You go to the best doctor. You work on what you can work on. But once you've hit the wall and there's nothing else you can do, you accept what cannot be changed. There's a word for that. It's trust. Trusting is trusting God in the things that are out of my control. So here's what I want you to do today. I want you to make a list of all the things that are frustrating you right now. And then I want you to make a note of which ones you have the ability to change and go to work on those things. Stop complaining. Just go to work on those things. But the things that you can't do anything about, you need to hand them over to the Prince of Peace and accept that God is in control and He will help you even in the unmanageables of life. I'm Rick, And I hope you'll keep joining me as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and listeners like you.